The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
To understand this passage, this trial of Joshua the high priest, we think back to the first, second, and third visions that the prophet Zechariah saw. He saw a man riding on a red horse in the middle of the myrtle trees. And they come and they bring back their report. All things sit still and are at rest. Sometimes the rest, the hot day, precedes a thunderstorm. The detente is still holding out today, but tomorrow one press of one button may bring the whole world into a holocaust and destroy the whole church of Jesus Christ, if not all mankind, who are created in God's image. Now this is to say, the angel of the Lord says, "How long, O Lord, wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on Judea, against which thou hast had indignation these 3 years and 10. When the angel of the Lord pleads for his people, then his church, the church of Jesus Christ, is safe. Fear not, little flock. It is the will of your heavenly Father to give to you, my people, bought with mine own precious blood, to give to you the kingdom of heaven." And then the second vision is of four horns. What come these to do? To crush the nations so that they are dust and ashes, nothing left. That was Cain's effort. That was going to be the end. Murder he did. And that attitude of murder is in the sons of disobedience. Always the church is cursing the church. The world is cursing the church. Well, now then, there are four carpenters. What come these to do? Carpenters, they destroy this. There's no danger from the nations. I've been very wroth against the nations. They have helped forward mine affliction. I was angry but a little, but now I will destroy them to the uttermost, because they have not let my people feed themselves in the land of plenty that I had promised them. And now then, the third vision is the scene in which I'm a fiery wall round about. There were walled cities, but they could be broken down. A few stones and a few clever devices, they were broken. But I'm a fiery wall. You don't need any walls. Jerusalem will be built up with many villages, many suburbs. Even in Glenside will be a church. Don't worry, my little flock, the will of your heavenly Father to give you kingdom. Nothing external, because God, the Almighty One, will destroy those that destroy him. My people, he that hurts me, them hurts the apple of mine eye. But now there is one problem, and that's the sin problem. Sin underlies all other problems, and something else must take place. And so he has shown Joshua the high priest filthy garments. Think back with me, if you will, to the Day of Atonement, when the high priest took blood off the altar of burnt offerings, walked through the holy place. There was the lampstand. Israel must be the light of the world, as Christ would be the light of the world. Here was the bread, the showbreads. I am the bread of life. It must symbolize that. Here was the altar of incense. Pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Then he would go into that holy, holy of holies alone and spread for the blood. There is no remission without the shedding of blood. And he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, this Ark of the Covenant, which contained the law of God. How is it possible that a holy God who says, "Thou shalt keep this my day," and they had broken the Sabbath, everyone. and they'd been anxious for the Sabbath to come over so they could do business again. Business, money, that was all they wanted, seemingly, whether they were to be destroyed or not, just so they had profit. And now Joshua is in filthy garments. For what reason? Well, let's ask first who the judge is. He is the angel of the Lord. In Exodus 33, he is the angel of the face. Do not insult him. He's my representative. You insult me. Cyrus Vance he is. And you, if you insult him, you insult me to the face. You know what that means? That means your death. Absolute annihilation from off the face of the ground. And then he's the angel of the covenant. You know that Lord made covenant with Moses to take this people out as an eagle's wing where no man dwelt, where no water was. But he would give them water, and he would strike the rock, and then waters would gush forth. And then Moses, the meekest man of all the earth, got angry. He was embittered by their hostility, by their covenant-breaking attitude. They should have separated themselves from the nations. Balaam advised them evil to intermingle. And now this man of God cannot even enter the promised land. We were told here recently, I forget who it was, something I had never thought of, but seemed to me so eminently fine. He was anxious to cross the Jordan, but he didn't have to. He crossed the Jordan of death, was with Jesus, his Savior, with God Almighty. Far better than to have to cross the Jordan of death. Well, now then, this is the sin problem, and Satan is here to accuse him before this angel of the covenant, this angel of the face, and that is, of course, he who will come to judge the living and the dead. The Father hath given all judgment to the Son, said Jesus of Nazareth, and we shall fear him unless he, the Lamb of God, is slain for us, and his blood cleanses us from all our sins. What then is it to that he charges this Satan? Well, that they did not listen when God told them at the beginning, do this and you shall live, do that and you shall die. They chose for death. And in a few generations after the murder that Cain performed, Lamech, the arrogant with the song of the sword, Aid and Zillah, ye wives of Lamech, there are two of you. I know there should have been only one of you, according to the institution of monogamous marriage. And, of course, that's long past. Bultmann has demythologized that, or soon will. That's a good deed. And now then, my great-great-grandfather Cain was silly. He sought help of God. He says, everybody will find me. So the Lord put a sign on him, a mark. Don't kill Cain the murderer, because I've got something in store. And so he built. He didn't kill him, and he brought Amech for it. And then the song of the sword, he's got this. And we are the scientists. I have invented musical instruments. My son has. The other one has invented metallurgy, and he's made a sharp two-edged sword. If a young man stands in my way, I cut him in two, and it doesn't bother me. I don't need Nitol anymore afterward as I do before. Well, that's the attitude. And so the Lord comes down, and the followers of Seth, they saw the women of the Canaanites, that they were fair, and they took unto them as many as they wished. And then the Lord came down, and he found that the heart of man is only evil continually. And that's why the seed of the serpent must be destroyed. It's a trial of strength between mankind and God, the maker of them. But Noah found grace in the sight of God, and so Noah became a preacher of righteousness, a patient man, all the while that the ark was a building. The separation took place. Of course it did. When the ark was shut, they were all without, and they didn't believe it could be, because they wanted to follow the scientific method. Facts, don't you see? And there have been lots of rainy spouts last years, very wet weather, haven't it? Well, Yes, but there have not been any floods. Mr. Noah, we like your wages. No strike. No, no. But please to tell us, we who work for you so faithfully now for many, many years, tell us when is Mrs. Noah coming with that bottle of champagne to start it off? Well, no problem. The ocean will come to us. We don't have to go to the ocean. And so the waters lifted up the earth, up on the waters, and all men drowned. Not one of them was found. Now that's the first test of strength. That's creation. But Noah found grace, the builder of righteousness. He walked with God. Enoch had also walked with God, and he was not found because it wasn't yet the time to undertake this major, explosive, sudden operation for the redemption of the children of God. Now Noah walked with God. He must walk with God in order to do the work of God. And now that's for all of us who call themselves or are called to the ministry of the gospel. This week, a large number of graduates will be graduating. We have prayed oft time that the Lord will send pastors into the flock. The fields are white unto the harvest. Let's also pray that there may be enough field places in the harvest for all these and other graduates from Christian institutions of learning based on the infallible Word of God. But now in the second place, what's the second part of this charge? Well, Israel has been redeemed with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And Moses said, Lord God, they have made them gods of gold. They are worthy. Now that they have done this thing, they should be destroyed. And the Lord was wroth and said, I will make thee, Moses, into a great nation. No, not me. Thou hast promised that thou wilt save the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is thy covenant. Thou canst not swear by other than thine own covenant, which thou hast made. Save Israel. If need be, blot my name out of the book. That seems to be a good prayer. It was, but certainly it was not the Lord's intention. No, not thy name, but this name. And I will not go with him, but I'll send an angel, a subordinate. Yet this angel is not finally a subordinate, so they are led into the promise. But notice first, already they have rebelled when they came to the Red Sea. Here was Pharaoh with his mighty chariots coming on behind. And Pharaoh, whose son had been slain, and the many others had been slain because they had not the blood on the doorposts as had the people of Israel. And so they called upon the Lord. They had to look upward. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't backwards or sideways or this way. Upward. Prayer. Desperate. We are to be drowned. We are to be killed or drowned. And so the Lord Moses took the rod of God, and open went the Red Sea, and they, the people of Israel, walked through dry shod. And the Pharaoh and his hosts is saying or trying to do the same thing. We're drowned, every one of them. We saw their bodies. And then the song of Moses and Miriam, they were drowned. Now, do we rejoice in the hatred of men? Shall we not pray for those that are lost? Shall we not pray for those that are without God? Without hope in this world we shall, except for those of whom God the Lord has said, you shall, this is Esau. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved, electing grace. Not as though we were better, he has passed him by. They've had the same covenant, they were twins. And so they had the same covenantal training, the same family, the same mother, the same birth. Yet this is my decision. What then do you think about this? Do you think there's injustice with God? Asked Paul. Who art thou, O man, that debatest with God? Shall not the potter have right over its clay to make of one a vessel to honor and another for menial use? Of course God is sovereign. And this is what Israel had forgotten. And this is the charge that Satan brings against man, against the people of God. They have broken the ordinances of creation. Twice over have they broken the ordinances of redemption. The end is destruction, filthy garment, not the average person, not the priest, but the high priest, who ordinarily would walk in glistening white garments. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That the pure white is now filthy. Now then, you should expect that Satan would have his reward. But no, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan, not Joshua. Joshua is set free. Is not this Joshua? Is not this which he represents my people? Will I not give myself for them? Will I not give my son for them and his blood? He is a branch. Put new turban, put a clean turban, a fair mitre on his head. And the angel of the Lord stood by. How happy was that angel who was the judge. He gets off from his platform and stands by. And then he says, now if you will do this thing and live now that you have made, then cleansed again, and you've got this white turban, clean turban, and this fair mitre, walk in the ways of obedience. As my servant Abraham did, walk in accordance with my will. The Lord rebuked thee. The Lord had rebuked the Red Sea, that open it went, and the Israelites could go forth to the promised land. The Lord also rebuked the grasshoppers, a few millions of them. They would have destroyed the crops. There would have been no Israel. There would have been no Jesus of Nazareth who came to save us from our sins. The Lord rebuked thee, Satan. You are, after all, back of all of the forces of evil. You are the seed of the serpent. You try to destroy the seed of the woman. Never shall it be. Get thee down to hell where you belong and to the nether realms from which you have come. Now this, my friends, in Jesus Christ is a great comfort. The whole book of Zechariah is a book of comfort, as the book of Revelation is. The scenes are all of comfort. Put a fair mitre on his head, and the turban is clean, washed, pure. No fuller, no launderer can make it any whiter or any cleaner. And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ may be with us, that we may rejoice in the fact of him who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, but was like man made unto us, that he humbled himself, and that he gave himself in our place, in our room, in our stead, that we might rise from the dead with him, that we might ascend into glory, that soon, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we might daily pray, Lord Jesus, and his answer be, I come, for thine own name's sake. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Father, Almighty God, we thank thee that nothing is too wonderful for thee. With men all this is impossible, but thou hast taken away our filthy garments from us, and thou hast put upon us the righteousness, the garments of righteousness, bringing us into the new heaven and the new earth, where righteousness, not unrighteousness, shall dwell. And the lamp shall be the light thereof. And there is no need of the sun, because the Lord, the sun, is the light thereof. There is no light of the moon, because all lights come from him who is the light of the world and the life of light. We rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the book of life, and that we are bound in the bundle of the living, that our tears are gathered together into his bottle. For those who are in distress, we think of Dorothy Sloat, give her healing. We thank thee for the many years that she was here with Leslie, twice a Sunday, cold or rain or warm. For all this do we grant praise unto thee. And here is now and accept of us, not for merits of ours, but for Jesus our Savior's sake. Amen.